eat.
Oh, so good.
Drink. Talk. Rick Redding and Steve Coombs serve up savory conversations about Louisville's world-famous restaurant food and drink scene. The wine is uncorked, the bourbon neat, the apps are on the table. Here comes the main course.
Welcome to Eat, Drink, Talk, Episode 6. I'm your host, Steve Coombs.
Hey, Steve, listen to this. You probably recognize that, don't you?
I do. And that would be my co-host, Rick Redding, and that would be his phone playing. You know, actually, it is phone calling back saying the 80s. You know, I want my songs back. I need a new song.
I want a new drug. That's right. Huey Lewis is in town tonight, Friday, if you're listening on Friday. I'm very excited because he's one of my top five artists. And he's coming over to the Horseshoe Casino. I need some advice from you. Where should I go eat before the show?
The new restaurant there, newish, let's say 6 months, is Smoke and Rye, and I've heard some good stuff about it. It's bourbon barbecue and burgers.
There you go.
So that, I mean, you can't mess up with those, right?
That sounds good. I'll order one or two or three of those, I think.
Are you staying the night?
I get there. I don't think so. I think we'll be traveling all the way back to Kentucky.
Crossing the River Styx?
Way over there. Maybe take a helicopter. I don't know.
It's not that bad. I mean, it's one of those things when you get across the river, you go, my goodness, why don't I do this more often? And you get across the bridge on the way back, you're like, where was I?
Well, I like where I like where Festival, that party was located, but, you know, the casino's way the heck out there.
How far is it? It's like 15
minutes? It's
like
15 miles.
Down 111, right?
Yeah, down at Tulane Road.
Road of death.
Road of death.
It's a little dangerous sometimes.
We don't hear more accidents because people go out to the casino and, you know, they drink and do stuff and then drive home, I guess. But we won't be doing anything dangerous like that. But very much looking forward. Huey Lewis was last here at, like, that Churchill Downs thing. What was it called? Rockapalooza or something.
It was a September event, wasn't it, maybe 2 years ago?
It was hot. It was more than 2 years ago. And the Churchill's experiment with large music festivals lasted 1 year. And they had, like, great acts. Bon Jovi was there and all that. And Huey was there. Huey still... It's amazing to watch because Huey is still skinny. So he had his skinny jeans on, his glasses, his hats, his hair is still dark, and all the guys in his band look like they've aged like 30 years.
And all of our listeners are going, why are we talking about Huey Lewis?
That's right. I can tell that look on your face. You're saying, isn't this about drinking and dining and stuff? No, it's about Huey Lewis. That's what Rick wants to talk about. So,
and he has.
Let's move on then.
Yeah, this is a big week. Speaking of drinking, this is a really big week for Kentucky Nectar, our beloved bourbon. It is Bourbon Affair Week this week, and hopefully by Friday when you guys get to listen to this, you have attended some of these events. It's, you know, it just shows where, when I was growing up, this was the drunk's drink, was bourbon. And now they have festivals for it. I think there are three of them. And this one, this year's, is culminating in Whiskey Live on Saturday.
Right. And I just learned what a big deal Whiskey Live is. I don't think, I think the publicity for it has been a little subdued compared to the size of the event. You know, they only have like a handful of cities in America that are host of this event,
right,
ever.
Right. And New York, first, Chicago, L.A., San Francisco, and Miami.
Somewhere in California, yeah. And this is the first time it's been in Kentucky. And as you'll hear later from Dave Sweet, the guy that brought the thing here, it's just a fantastic show. This thing Saturday night is 4 hours of anything you want to do and taste. You know, all these fantastic drinks. He taught me... You know this, Steve, but he taught me, you know, whiskey without an E, as they spell it in England, encompasses not just bourbon, but scotch and other whiskeys and any liquor.
Brown liquor, period, is the way you can call it whiskey. And it's actually in Scotland, is without the E.
Okay.
Now, in England, it is with the E,
okay,
but it's E-Y-S as opposed to I-E-S, which is the way the Americans tend to spell it.
Okay.
And, I mean, it's the goofiest thing. So one of my clients is Whiskey Magazine, no E. Which is Dave's property.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's kind of, it is definitely a Get Beyond Bourbon event if you haven't done that already, to go taste scotches. And sadly, when we tasted scotches, you know, probably got a nip out of our parents' cabin or whatever, it might have been a really peaty, heavily smoked peaty scotch, which is just gross sometimes, especially to a young palate. But you get in there and you taste Irish whiskeys, and again, milder Scotch whiskeys, Canadian whiskeys, whiskeys from Taiwan, I mean, all over the world, and it just shows you the variety of how people handle malt, how people handle, you know, they don't put a bunch of grains in it like we do, you know, with bourbon, corn, rye, wheat, whatever.
You know. And the thing I learned, you know, I went over to the Marriott East and to talk to Dave, and you know, there's all this signage, all this stuff going on, and really the thing, it's a learning experience for people that come, because all these distilleries from all over the country and the world come here and have a display, put on a show, and try to introduce their product to new people. And, you know, it's pretty exciting to see all that in one place.
Absolutely. And if you really want to expand your palate, there are some tickets left. I don't know how many. Dave said he was really happy with sales so far. Is that right?
Yeah, he was as happy as it could be. He was talking to me right before he was going over to WHAS, be on Terry Miner's show. And, you know, I think, you know, all indications are that the event is already a success. You know,
oh, that's excellent. Excellent. Well, whiskeylive.com. Is right where they can go find them.
That's
I believe it's $133 for a base ticket. I think the VIP ticket's already sold out.
Yeah, Saturday night, you should go. I hate to tell you, Steve, you talk about Scotch, and I've never drank Scotch since this one horrible experience in college where they lined us pledges up in the basement and blindfolded us, made us drink that stuff. It must have been some of the nastiest Scotch ever. So after 30-something years, I'm willing to give it another try.
Oh, you should. There are certain ones that just blow my mind how good they are, and then there are some like the Isla Scotches, which spelled, oddly enough, Islay, like you've dipped them in the surf because they're salty, and it's just weird kind of stuff. But, you know, that's big boy Scotch. And speaking of go back real quickly to the Bourbon Affair. If there are tickets for that event left and you want to check it out, it's KentuckyBourbonAffair.com. Or you can go back a couple of episodes of Eat, Drink, Talk and listen to my interview with Adam Johnson, who is a bigwig within that event too. So all about drinking this week.
You know, let's talk about our show for a minute. You know, a lot of people are getting introduced to podcasts for the first time through this show. It's very easy to download. You can basically go to eDrinkTalk.net, hit the go to the post that has the podcast on it and do it. Or you can very soon look it up in iTunes, and you can download the show at any time you have an internet connection, and then you can listen to it on your phone even if you don't have an internet connection later.
Tell our listeners how to download that. Do you have to go to Louisville.am?
Well, you really don't. You can if you go to the main bar, probably the easiest way to do it at Louisville.am, there's a little thing you click on that says download. And you can do that. The best way to do it, of course, is have an internet connection and just hit the play button. And no matter wherever you are, as long as you got speakers or some way to listen, and you hook the Bluetooth up in your car, it's the best way to do it. And the best thing about this is, because people that are just catching on to the show, you know, this is the sixth one, you can go back and listen to the first five anytime you want. And, you know, I do this Rusty Satellite show. You can go back and listen to something I did 3 years ago if you want. So that's one of the great things about this podcast world.
Absolutely. Listen at your own convenience on multiple devices.
There you go. You don't have to listen to the exact current one. You can go back if there's somebody you're really interested in hearing, like Adam Johnson. You can go back and listen to that.
You have our permission to go back. That's quite all right. And speaking of stuff that you got to do, tell us a little bit about that Junior League dinner you went to last night.
Oh, that's cool. Your pal Dean Corbett was a great host. I didn't know what to expect. The Junior League of Louisville, you know, they do some great charitable work in this town, and they had this dinner. They sell a cookbook that's really great, and Dean was signing the cookbooks, and it was a four-course meal. You know, it was me and two other dudes and like 20 women. So
who were the two other dudes?
Well, I sat next to a guy from Brown-Forman, the other guy I'd never really met.
So Brown-Forman guy.
Some Brown-Forman guy.
But were they a sponsor?
He's in HR. No, I think his wife was part of the Junior League.
I can tell you know, I don't have their latest book, but sometimes when people ask about good cookbooks, what I recommend, Junior League cookbooks as a whole, like as a genre, as it were. Well, that would be a cookbook genre, but as a type of cookbook, tend to be really, really good.
Yeah, I think they said this one came out in like 2013 or something, but Dean is one of the primary authors, And, you know, he talked it up. Yeah. He bought a bunch of, like, he's got this deal, and I'm sure he won't mind me saying this, that he's going to give a cookbook to at the holiday time to anybody that buys a certain amount of gift cards. They get a
oh, nice. Cookbook. Nice spiff.
There you go.
Let go, Dean.
Dean's all over it. He's a marketer.
Absolutely. You got to be in that business, especially. You know, we have a little bit of a sad note to talk about this week. Anybody who covers the restaurant business or spends much time in the business knows that it can have its problems. It can have people struggle with alcoholism, drug addiction. And in my Facebook feed this week, there were several posts about a young man named Derek Coleman who overdosed on heroin. And he was a cook at several different restaurants, you know, kind of a journeyman like a lot of these guys are. And the outcry was amazing. The people were angry that this happened, angry at the seller, angry that this happened to such a young kid. If you look at his pictures on Facebook, you think, man, is he even 21? Excuse me. But so next week I'm going to address that subject head on by talking to at least two chefs that I know, who one of whom has beaten drug addiction and another has beaten alcoholism, and we're just really going to delve into this and ask why in this industry it's so common, and especially with heroin use on the rise in Louisville, it's approaching epidemic proportions, as I understand it. We need to talk about the tough issues, and especially is how it affects restaurants.
Yeah, you know, I've talked to law enforcement people, especially out in J-Town. I've talked to the police chief, and it's their number one problem, and it's the number one problem, you know, throughout the city, at places like Volunteers of America, the Healing Place, you know, and I can't really understand it. I guess you either have to have, like, experienced addiction or something to really understand it. It's a monstrous problem in this community. J-Town, in fact, has come up with a program. They're copying a program that a police department put on in Boston, in which they are going to grant basically amnesty to anybody that comes in and brings drugs. You can bring drugs into the police station. This starts the 1st of August, and you can turn yourself in. They'll send you at a treatment center, not jail, and the whole idea is to get these people off the drugs into treatment.
Yeah, treatment rather than
jail.
Than confinement, yeah.
Yeah. So it's the biggest issue that our police force face, you know, right now. It's the biggest issue in our community. I mean, you talk about murders and handguns and all these other problems, but heroin addiction is really the cause of a lot of crimes.
Right. People are desperate. You know, it's interesting. When I was in the business 30-odd years ago, I always say I was too cheap and too scared to do drugs. And that actually helped me out. By the grace of God, I stuck to that thing. It was one of the few things that I did well. And I don't know how many people who are listening right now remember, but it was either 1985 or 86 when Louisville had a huge cocaine bust. It was kind of a citywide thing where the police officers went, you know, whoever the agents were on this bus, and got 155 people.
Wow.
Overnight one time. And I walk in. Here's a restaurant story for you folks. I walk in for my dinner shift to work, and the chef says, "Hey, this guy, they all got busted in that big sweep last night." I'm like, "What?" He said, "Haven't you seen the news? Cocaine bust." This was before news was on like every other half hour.
Yeah.
And he said, "Divide up his knives and y'all get back to work." But I mean, that was as bad as I ever saw it. And now it is.
Unfortunately, yeah, the restaurant industry and the people who work in the industry, you know, for whatever it is, and you know better than I, they're sort of attracted to that life.
I don't know what it is. Well, you have so many different demographics represented in that business. It's not like you walk into a white collar office where people typically aren't involved in that, or come from neighborhoods where you could have access to that. With restaurants, they come from all over the place.
Well, if you talk to the police, they'll tell you that the heroin epidemic does not discriminate based on race, based on economics, based on anything. It can happen. It happens in the Tony East End neighborhoods, and it happens in the West End.
Indeed,
and
it does.
Everywhere in between.
But this show is about eating and drinking, right?
That's right.
And we love to touch on some of our favorite things that we've eaten and drinking. Wow. Have eaten and drunk. over the course of the past week. Rick, why don't you jump in?
Yeah.
Before I stumble my way into something
while you're struggling
stupid.
With that, I was thinking we're still struggling with a tagline for Eat, Drink, Talk, and I came up with one last week that I know you would hate. It was like chewing, chugging, and chatting.
That's from your fraternity days, right? When you were listening to Huey Lewis?
Yeah, maybe. So we didn't do that. But we did happen to have another week of having some fun. Now, I've got something from last night, but I want to hear about your trip out in the state of Kentucky this week.
Well, lucky me. One of my clients, for those who don't know much about me, I'm a freelance writer, and one of my clients is the Kentucky Bureau of Tourism and Travel. And this month, they're finishing up their fiscal year, so my client said, would you like to finish up your contract this month? I was like, yes, ma'am, I will. So I have so far, in the past 2 weeks, covered 1,100 miles driving around the state and eating and drinking and just having a ball and being blown away by some of the quality restaurants in these small towns like Paducah, Corbin. My gosh, I found a great restaurant within the Natural Bridge Park. I mean, well, not within the park, about a couple of miles out of the way. And you just think, this is in the middle of nowhere. And in between, you get to see all the little great stops, the great barbecue joints, the great small bars. And, you know, at 51 years old, I appreciate this gorgeous state so much more than I ever did. It was, when we got to get there when I was a kid. Yeah. Now I just think, wow, trees everywhere, mountains.
Well, it seems like there's a lot of communities around, and you know, this is just probably not related to anything you did, but places like out in the state, like the Talbot Tavern, that are famous, the Boone Tavern Inn, you know, mm-hmm. the place. It seems like there are just a handful of those, like, turn of the century places.
And they're some are good, some aren't.
Yeah.
And I'll let listeners decide which are good and aren't. But, I mean, so if I were to nail down some of the bests that I had just this week alone, if anybody ever finds themselves in Pikeville, really, cute little town.
They're probably going there for hillbilly days, I'm sure.
if you do, go to the Blue Raven, fantastic restaurant. I had a goat cheese salad there, which is basically, you know, a nice block of chev that was lightly breaded and fried, and multi-greens. I'm trying to think. It was a pistachio vinaigrette of all weird things. It was out of the park great. I was thinking, man, here we are in Pikeville having this kind of quality
in Pikeville
food.
They probably make it out of real goats.
Well, they're milk.
Yeah, they're milk.
Of course. But at the Wrigley Tap Room in Corbin, I had everybody loves roasted Brussels sprouts. It seems like it's on every menu. Well, the thing that they did here was tossed it in honey and chipotle glaze. It was fan-freaking-tastic. You just drink that with a cold beer. You know, they have 21 taps, I think, there. Yeah. Again, in Corbin, Kentucky, the place was jam-packed.
You know, I know the craft beer thing is not restricted to Louisville. It's all over the state.
Oh, absolutely. And a Louisville bite, of course, I have to throw in. Yet again, the best New York-style pizza in town. Or my favorite, I should say, not the best, is at the Post in Germantown.
I love that Doss place. Avenue.
Oh, man, the pizza's great. Their beer selection's great. It's just the place has a great vibe. Hands-on owners, Laura and Nash Neely. It's just a fun place to go, and that's where we had wound up with a bunch of friends on Saturday night. So what about you?
Cool.
You're eating.
Cool. Well, I did some chewing and chugging and stuff. last night, I think we ought to reach out and thank Lauren Coulter. She is the partner in Luvino, who you know, I had Chad on here last week on the show, and she invited me to this Junior League dinner. And Dean Corb was a great host. I tell you, one of the wines I thought was stood out was something called a Poor Thing.
Poor Thing.
Grenache. It's Grenache, and I didn't know what
that was. Grenache means is a poor thing?
No, I think Grenache that's is the name, grape. And
that's
the poor thing is the brand.
Okay, so poor thing's the vineyard, and Grenache is the grape.
It's poor, P-O-O-R, thing.
Ba-dum-tsh. Ta-da. Rim shot there.
So they had three wine pairings with this meal, and it was great. And my favorite dish was the first one. It was and it was funny. Dean explained, he brought out these props and showed you how they prop things up and make them taller on the plate, and that's the secret to making things look good. And they have this stuff. So anyway,
it's always about height.
It's about height, and he showed how he did that. And this was a crab thing with avocado, and it was just perfect.
Yeah, who cares about details when the experience is great, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Good
exactly.
For you.
But it's nice to go to these events. I mean, I know you go to a lot of them, but to hear the chef come out and explain how something's done or the history and the background of that, you know, I think our listeners, if you ever get a chance to do something like that, that's
paired dinners are a blast to me because, you know, you don't have any choice. It's coming out, and it's always kind of a mystery. And I like it when they just say, here you go.
Yeah. Yeah,
I was take it or leave it.
I was telling Paula last night. It's like she hadn't experienced this, but you know, the best thing you can do with a chef is to walk in, tell them what your allergies are, and not get a menu, and they just bring food out.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, I love that. A lot of people don't like that, giving up that control. But
yeah.
Anyway, speaking of people who like control, we got to talk about our guests.
We got some great ones this week. What in the world did you talk to Michael Reedy about?
Reedy,
he is
a crazy character. I've known the guy since 1987, a couple years after he immigrated here, and he's just still funny as hell. He's just is a riot. But so what he is doing this summer, he and his wife Siobhan, who own the Irish Rover, if you don't know who Michael Reedy is, they are having the Irish Dinner Series, and for 2 weeks at a time, and through September, I do believe, they are recreating dishes from restaurants that they're very fond of in Ireland. Michael, obviously, is the immigrant, and his wife goes back there with him every couple of years. And these are Irish country restaurants. And so you get to go there, you get to taste the food, and hopefully maybe someday if you go to Ireland, you get to experience it.
Yeah.
And he talks about that and why it's so important to represent his homeland. So I think he's very funny. And I'm sure you'll enjoy the interview.
Yeah, he is funny. I had him on the Rusty Satellite Show about a month or two ago, and I had him on for St. Patrick's Day, so it was fun. He's a great guy, one of the wonderful characters in this town. My talk with Dave Sweet, who brought this Whiskey Live event to town, was really great. I tried to pin him down on making sure that he's going to come back, and he said it was very likely that he would. So this. You know, event has brought a lot of people in from other cities, and Dave is a great ambassador for the event and for the whole industry, I think.
And as a Chicagoan, is
right.
Just totally in love with Louisville, so that's really cool.
Yeah, he was very complimentary about the city, and you know, I elicited some positive comments about that, and we just sort of sat down. He was in a hurry, but we sat down. He invited me back for a drink. We actually shared a little bit of a little something while I was there, just so we could do the picture right.
You got to prime the pump, right?
Yeah.
Got to have a little whiskey to talk about whiskey.
I say, gosh, you know, how are we going to get this picture without pouring a little bit? So we poured something.
Oh, he's a good dude. And I hope that people will go to Whiskey Live so they can meet him. So last thing, let you go to your interviews, whiskeylive.com. Go check out the tickets if you can. Meantime, listen up for our interviews.
Head coach of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, Jeff Rom.
Today I'm with Matt Jones,
Kevin Harned,
Pat Forty.
But I'm with Anoush Sheriott,
Kristen Wall,
United States Congressman John Yarmuth,
Sarah Brofancher, and Susie Eastman.
I have Kristen Boone,
one of St. Matthew's most favorite sons, Danny Flanagan.
It's Pat Day.
The list goes on and on. The most interesting people in the Ville are on the Rusty Satellite Show with Rick Redding. New episodes Thursdays on Louisville.am.
It is my pleasure this week to introduce and interview my old friend that I've known for 29 years since we worked together at 6th Avenue in 1987. My guest this week is Michael Reedy, co-owner of the Irish Rover in Clifton. Welcome to Eat, Drink, Talk, Michael.
Thank you so much, Stephen, and I don't know whose pleasure is mine or yours, but you know what? The first day I met you, we laughed, and we laughed the very last day we'll meet. You know, that's just the way it is.
It has been the bulk of our relationship, that's for sure. It's laughing our heads off, mostly at each other, right?
Nowhere else would get it.
Laughing that God's let us live this long, that's for sure.
That's for sure.
So a bit of history for our listeners. Now, you immigrated to the U.S., is it in 86 or 87?
I came to New York in 1984, and I was out visiting my brother. I was actually on my way to Australia.
Nice.
And, you know, I had cousins out there who had sheep stations and vineyards. And I was, as it turned out, I'm going to Australia state by state. Now, it's very slow going, but you know what? I suppose any day I go west is an improvement. But, you know, I met my missus up in New York, Siobhan, and her family had moved here about 1985, and they had moved here, and we came down to visit, and I loved it down here. I really felt that, you know, Louisville was, you know, West Clare or County Clare, where I'm from, it was transported here. People are wonderful, and I felt that we could really make an imprint here, and I just loved it. And, you know, it's just great fun. It has been great fun. People like yourself made sure that, you know, I had no reason to go back east.
Now, you, at least my experience with you, was you started as a busboy at 6th Avenue.
That's right.
So
that's right.
Pretty humble, I would imagine.
Yes.
How old were you back then, by the way?
I was 24 years old.
Yeah, okay.
24 years. I started initially at the Terrace Restaurant, which is now Ruth Chris. And I started off as a busboy, barback, dishwasher, sanitation engineer, all sorts of various guises of a profession. And I cobbled them all together, and I went to 6th Avenue, and I was elevated to head busboy, and then I was demoted to lower head busboy, and then I moved on to the Rudyard Kipling, and then after Rudyard Kipling, I went to Billy D's. There was formerly Hamlet, there was formerly 21st Century Room, there was formerly.
Gosh.
And then I ended up, I suppose, my most formative education began at Remington's, 1800 Horsebourne Lane, and that's where I met Manu Shariat, and that's when he taught me I needed to shape up and put my life together, because I was a party animal. But anyway,
and for geographical purposes, that now is an Olive Garden.
That
right
is
there,
an Olive Garden
near I-64. In case that's, you didn't know where Remington's
that's
was.
That's right. That's right. Well, you know, that's where I started. You know, really seriously get interested in the food business, and I worked my way up from busboy to back waiter to captain.
And Anoush is the one that gave you the nudge?
Absolutely.
I didn't know.
Well, it was more a kick in the rear end than it was a nudge. You know? And his best Iranian voice, you will do this! So, you know, great guy. And of course, the man is has a mini empire out in Brownsboro shopping center now. And, you know, my two children work for him. So that will tell you how much of an impression he made. With the fear of God into me, and I felt anybody in the business should... It should experience that fear of God.
So when did the Rover officially open?
It opened the 1st of November 1993, in this very room. I will never forget it. My wife and I, the night before we were open, we were down on our knees cleaning the floor here, getting things. We were the only two in the building,
which used to be the sandwich shop, another place, sandwich shop, right?
That's right. And our child was in the corner in a crib. He was 2 years old, and he was in the corner. I remember we were walking our way towards the middle of the floor, mopping it and cleaning it, and we locked eyes and we said, look, it, there's no future for him if this doesn't make it. So that was the motivating factor.
Well, let's fast forward to 2016 and talk about this exciting Irish dinner series that you're running this summer. Talk a little bit about your inspiration for this.
I felt that the quality of food and the quality of cooking in Ireland needs to be explored more and experienced more. And I felt that we were in a unique position of having the personnel to do something of that nature. So my wife and I have been back to Ireland every couple of years, and we don't go to the big lavish places. We go to the small places like the Irish Rover, like small little out of the way places, and we find these fantastic people that are cooking there with great product, great food. And we started off a little place called Flappers. We used to go to because I'd heard about it, and we went there, and the cook, Patricia McInerney, is a genius.
And she is the chef?
That's right. That's right. She worked in New York. She worked in restaurants in New York, and she waited tables in New York, and she understood the restaurant business from start to finish. And she opened a little restaurant called Flappers in the town of Tulla. Those are the sort of places that we are exploring in this trek to my own County Clare. Different restaurants, different types of preparation of food. Fun. You never want to come to the Irish Rover without learning a little something and having fun along the way. And you sit down at a table here and you experience seafood the way it should be done properly, meats the way they should be done properly, chicken cooked properly, and the combination of black pudding and scallops, things that you would never think of combining but are absolutely wonderful. those are the sort of things that we want to do. We people have this notion of Ireland just being, you know, potatoes, bacon, cabbage, and
fish and chips
and what have you. That's not the case at all. We have a very, very eclectic, widespread culinary palate from... Thanks to the Celtic Tiger, actually, when the economy was really going well and people were opening restaurants left, right and centre. And so, you know, we wanted to bring a little bit of my homeland here. And people say, wow, I didn't know that this could taste like this. That's what we're after. Those are the things we're nailing down. And we, you know, it's like opening a new restaurant in a way. I know we're only doing each restaurant for 3 weeks, but we want to... do them justice. We don't want to, you know, if you've got to say if we're representing a restaurant and it didn't work out well here, and you have to say, oh my God, I will never go near that place that I was so trying to represent. We want to do justice to these places.
So the people who may travel to Ireland will say, well, exactly. I know all about, well, I know a little bit about flappers. That's from right. What I ate at Irish Rover.
That's right.
Well, let's talk about this incredible menu. So it's a 3-piece menu that you can have either in its entirety or a la carte.
That's great.
And the starter is a smoked haddock chowder, which sounds absolutely outstanding. And then the entree is an Irish whiskey, an 8-ounce tenderloin that's grilled with a mushroom whiskey cream sauce. And a dessert. I love this one, too. Strawberries and red wine pepper sauce.
Yes.
And is that traditional Irish, or is that kind of this modern Irish?
It's a modern Irish twist. You know, it's really good. The products are top class. All really good vanilla ice cream. Then we do a reduction of a really hearty, heavy-bodied red Zinfandel. And then we add, of course, some cracked black pepper, a dash of butter, and balsamic vinaigrette to give that sweet, sour finish. And to marry that in with the ice cream, pour it on top, absolutely wonderful. Those are the sort of things that, has started in the scene back at home now. People are really taking food very, very seriously. You know, this is not corned beef and cabbage, which is not a traditional Irish dish, by the way. But that's all right, so. But, you know, we like to have fun with this. And more importantly, we want to do a proper representation of a small country restaurant that you would not necessarily see in any publications, but you will come across and say, wow, this is something really unique, really different. I didn't know Irish food could be like this. And I didn't have to bring the PB&J with me.
Now, and this is just one of 6 restaurants that will be highlighted
right.
this summer?
That's right.
Each 3 weeks, each so the promotion weeks. Will end in September,
that's
I guess?
Right. That's right. Because that's when most summer menus will run out anyway. So what we're also looking to, you know, in time, we want to see how this goes. And we have every confidence. So far, there has been tremendous reception for it. And there is a demand for it. And it's a tool that does not take, you know, it takes intellectual investment. The folks back at home are thrilled to send me these menu items because they trust me. You have to earn that trust. They trust that we will do a good job with their intellectual ideas and the products that they suggest we use. And we're looking forward to doing this so much. The fun thing about it is when you come in here and you look at the menu, we're going to have their website address, not in Flapper's case because it's such a small place.
No website.
No website, but all the other ones have a website, and the pictures, the colors, the vibrancy of their menu, and the vibrancy of their of their establishment will transcend and come right across to folks here. And I think they'll really enjoy it. I'm so looking forward to this.
So let's shift gears just a bit. Now, you and I have talked personally before, in fact, in great detail about the need for restaurants now to provide an experience and not just a meal, and that Irish Rover as basically the lone, at least elevated Irish restaurant in town. That's something very unique that you can bring, not only because you are an Irishman yourself, but you've got the look, you've got the feel, and you've got this well-developed menu of how many years now? Is it
23 years.
23 years.
23 years and counting.
Talk about the experience of that. What in just about a minute or so, what can people expect when they come here that's going to be totally different?
In a minute or so, that's impossible.
Especially with you.
I'm doing my best. I drag it along. I pull it over the line. I want people to come in here, sit down here, close their eyes, and imagine they're in Ireland. Because that's what happens would people have gone to Ireland. And when they come in here for a meal, for a drink, whatever, they sit back in one of these booths and they close their eyes, they hear the music in the background, and they get the feel for it. I've had many a person cry.
Wow.
That's the experience.
Wow. That's fantastic. That's authentic.
Yes.
All right. So one other authentic part of Michael Reedy is there's always a joke. Always a joke to tell. Tell the one that you shared with me the other week.
Well, there's an Irishman. He goes into a bar, a nice bar, classy bar, and he says to the bartender, I'd like a dry martini up, please, with olives. The bartender says, okay. So he makes the martini, he brings it over, and the Irishman said to him, now, keep them coming. So before he took a drink out of the martini, he took the olives and put them into a big jar. And he threw down the martini, and he drank all the martinis until the jar was filled with olives. So the bartender says, what the heck is going on here? And the Irishman says, well, the wife sent me out for a jar of olives.
Michael Reedy, it's always a pleasure seeing you both at leisure and now at work again. Here we are. Thanks for being on Eat, Drink, Talk.
Oh, thanks for having me. We appreciate it.
Garcon, I think I'll have another.
I am today at the Marriott Louisville East with Dave Sweet, who is the guy who's bringing whiskey live to town. Dave, welcome to the city.
Oh, thank you, Rick. I really appreciate that.
This is a very exciting thing for Louisville to have. I know that there aren't that many cities that host an event like this with your organization.
No, in the United States, Louisville is in very good company. It's New York, D.C., and Los Angeles. Around the world, it's London, Tokyo, Paris, Sydney.
Wow.
So, and they are all over, including Johannesburg, South Africa.
All right. So the Whiskey Live event is this weekend in headquarters here at the Marriott East. Tell me about, what do you tell people when they say, what is it and why should I go?
The easiest way to explain Whiskey Live is it's just like a wine tasting. So you have all the producers, all the different whiskey companies there with displays and booths and sometimes some very elaborate displays showcasing their product. Now, whiskey is generic. Like wine is a generic word. There's all types of wine. There's all types of whiskey. Scotch, bourbon, Irish whiskey, American craft whiskeys, Japanese whiskey, they're all whiskey.
Wow. Wow. And to think, a lot of us around here think bourbon's the end-all and be-all of whiskeys, but it's not. Very exciting. How many people are involved in this? How many people are coming?
We will have about 800 people at the show Saturday night. All different types of golden ticket holders. These are the true enthusiasts, true bourbon enthusiasts, the golden ticket holders from the Bourbon Affair. We have a VIP lounge, so if you're an enthusiast and want to really taste something different, and everyday people that just want to learn more about whiskey, learn more about bourbon, get face to face with the master distillers and talk and discuss this with the experts and the brand ambassadors and so on.
Wow! Now this will air on Friday, so anybody that just wanted to, hey, that sounds cool, can I come out and learn something? What can they do?
Well, it's tickets are always available at whiskeyliveusa.com, and we were founded in London, so we put that European on it, so it's W H I S K Y.
There you go.
L I V E USA .com, and it's full dinner buffet. Come hungry. Live entertainment. This is a full, complete night out. It's embracing a lifestyle. It's sipping, it's tasting, it's discovering new flavors.
And that's Saturday night, right?
That is Saturday night.
Okay. Wow. That sounds like a lot of fun. Will people come travel some distance to be here?
We have had local? We have sold tickets from 22 different states.
Wow.
From California, Washington, to New York, to Michigan, Texas, all over the South, all the way down to Miami.
Wow. Now, why did you choose? I mean, this is the first time it's been in Louisville. Why would you choose Louisville of all the cities to go to?
Louisville's always been a desired market because it's the home of bourbon. The timing is right with the bourbon on this huge explosion, this huge uprise. All the American craft whiskeys, so many around Kentucky, and it's a point where the Scotches are very interested in the Louisville market as well, and in Kentucky, getting shoulder to shoulder with their bourbon brothers. So the timing was right. We were invited by the industry. The city has embraced us more than any other city anywhere I've been involved in.
Okay.
It's been phenomenal, and of course the industry and the KDA and everybody.
Now, is it a one-time deal, or do you think we'll come back here?
No, I guarantee we'll be back. This will be by far the best first launch that Whiskey Live has ever done in the United States, if not one of the best ones we've ever done in the world, literally.
Okay. Well, it's very exciting. You know, people around here, you know, they hear the word bourbon or whiskey and just say, I want to go, right? But if you're a real, as I understand it, if you're a real connoisseur, a real enthusiast, I guess is the term, you're going to get to taste some really unusual stuff.
Absolutely. There is several different whiskeys here that are first time releases. Elliott Reserve by the new master distiller over at Four Roses.
Okay.
Beam has some new releases. Jack Daniel's is coming out with something that's not even that's fresh and new to the market. So we have quite an array, some awesome scotches. A huge display of Irish whiskeys as well. So it's an opportunity to taste some very different whiskeys, some things you normally wouldn't taste, a little bit more rare and unusual as well.
There's a lot of people that really, I guess, do a lot of this, or are there some novices that come in here and just to see what it's like?
It's a huge cross-section. At $129 for a ticket, it's full dinner. It's tasting all night long, live entertainment. So it's really a fantastic deal. And a lot of these whiskeys would cost $50, $60 a shot. And you just walk around and sample and taste a little bit of everything.
Wow. Well, that's gonna be very, very exciting. Now, in association with the event, though, there's some, like, I guess there's some tours that people can go on and other things to do.
We are tied in with the Bourbon Affair,
which that's been going on, I guess, all week, right?
Correct. Absolutely. So there are things to do, and we are the Saturday night event of Bourbon Affair. So you have all the folks coming into town from all over the country for Bourbon Affair, plus local Kentuckians and Louisvillians that want to do a Saturday night out. So it's not just for any one group. But yes, all the Kentucky going, all the bourbon goings on here in Kentucky this week.
All right. Well, it's going to be an exciting Saturday night. Now, tell me, just from the distillers or the producers' point of view, I mean, they're in here with, I guess their attraction is to get these people that have this affinity or this enthusiasm for drinking and expose their new products to them, right?
Absolutely. The idea is to, we have a saying, rediscover old favorites. A lot of times you used to have something you used to drink, and you can get reintroduced to it. Maybe your palate's a little bit more advanced, so you discover that, and new whiskeys as well. So they're all the producers are here showing off. And it's been fun because there's a little bit of one-upmanship going on. And the lineup of bourbons here is incredible. And even the Scotches have stepped up. And we've got some pretty awesome marks here.
I mean, when you say that, you know, I guess these companies know about each other. They're like, hey, you got that, I'll get this.
Absolutely. They know what each one has in their what tools they have in the woodshed, so to speak, and they know that they come to this event. Wild Turkey is pulling out the Master's Keep. This is a $190 bottle of bourbon, and they're all doing this and bringing out incredible whiskeys. Belvini, for their master class, is pouring Belvini 25-year-old. This is a $500, $400 bottle of scotch.
Is there I mean, pricing is always interesting to me, you know, because, you know, what you hear about the bourbons around here and everything. Is there a most expensive thing that is going to be featured on Saturday night?
Well, we've got to see. There's some very special whiskeys that are being poured in the VIP lounge. But a lot of it is not necessarily price, but some of the rare barrel selections, some of the limited editions that are being done by the brands. The last barrels laid down by Booker for Beam. They're going to have Booker's Rye here. I don't even think I'm going to be able to pick up a bottle of it. It's going to be allocated and very rare, so Whiskey Live has a chance to taste it.
I guess you're going to have some pretty tight security as well, it sounds like.
We treat it like a family. It's a very good time. We never have issues. It's a wonderful event. It's a time for people to just relax and have a great time, and there's never any... It's relaxing. You can always come back and taste. It's not like when you're at a bar, once it's gone, it's gone. You can go back. They're there all night.
Yeah. Wow, it must be kind of an exciting job for you to have, being head of this organization. How many of these events you do every year?
We do five in the U.S. now with Louisville and one up in Toronto. Those are the ones that I own all the events for North America. But the Whiskey Live organization does events in about 25 cities around the world.
Okay. Wow. Wow. Well, it's a very interesting group. We're certainly glad that you chose Louisville. Tell me, well, first of all, what are the other ones in this year that you're doing?
This fall we do a Whiskey Live in partnership with the Scottish Festival and Highland Games out in Pleasanton, California, and that's a hoot. And that's just a ball. And then we have Los Angeles, which is a big formal event like this. And then March 1st we're in New York, and March 11th we're in D.C.
Wow.
So Louisville's in good company.
Yeah. So all these same brands go to those other markets and
absolutely
and do their thing.
Kentucky's can be a little bit restrictive because of our liquor laws here. New York and D.C. A little bit different liquor laws. New York is our signature event. It's been around for 15 years. Yeah. We have over 300 different whiskeys there.
Wow. Wow. That's really amazing. So before I let you go, tell me how you what's your impressions of Louisville? Is this your first time here?
Oh, no. Louisville's like a second home. Being in the industry and also running Whiskey Magazine for the U.S., I'm down here quite a bit. But like I said, I have never experienced a city opening their arms and embracing the event, me, everything, and just stepping up. The show is twice as big as we anticipated for brand participation, and we are looking forward to a great show, and we definitely are here to stay.
If you just can't get enough, catch up on the news of the city's restaurant scene every single day by visiting www.eatdrinktalk.net. Steve and Rick share all the latest local scoop from Louisville's restaurants and bars. You can also find old episodes of the show and connect with the guys on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Eat well, my friends. Another episode next week.
Dessert? Yes, please.